Checking in with Quincy City Council President, Councillor for Ward 3, Ian Kane, to get an update on this week's busy City Council meeting. How are you, Ian?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for checking in this last week of April. My gosh, time is ticking down quickly.
Yeah, we're I guess almost past the quarter of the year, or the third quarter, definitely the quarter, almost the third.
Yeah, I noticed the budget will be the big focus coming up. And then we'll have you in for Porch Fest too at some point in the near future. So throw a little,
oh,
sprinkle a little fun in.
I can't wait for that. Let's start ordering that good weather now.
Exactly. So as I mentioned, a busy agenda, but a lot of it was in Finance Committee this week, right?
Yeah, it was. There were a couple items in Finance. We had heard or started to hear, and I guess a prior City Council meeting, about two MWRA bond authorizations that would provide infrastructure work, so sewer, water, drainage work within the city. And so there was a $7 million improvement bond, as well as a $2.5 million bond for lead service removal. So those were both approved at the meeting. There was also an appropriation for $4 million towards capital improvement plan, which would improve Quincy Point area, Cleverly Park, and the acquisition of a car wash to turn that into a green space for that area, which will be nice. Obviously, that's one of the welcome areas into the city that was historically and largely industrial. And I mean, you've seen it brightened up. You look at that Washington Street corridor as you drive down, and it's changed dramatically. So that will be a dramatic, nice improvement to the area.
Excellent. And yeah, this is all I know approved out of Finance. And then did the full council approve it too?
The full council also approved it. Yes, those three measures. And
okay.
We also had a presentation on what will be the Sixth Amendment to the Urban Renewal Plan. The discussion will continue. So there's a $157 million district improvement financing bond that will accompany that, that will mostly govern the construction of the two garages, one for the Ross lot area and the other in the area that will be the medical, the Beth Israel Deaconess Milton property that will be developed by Fox Rock.
Yeah, I know you and I've talked about this in the past, and you think this is a good move, yes?
Which part?
For the new garages, the Ross development lot?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with the increase in development in the downtown, we've seen great use of the existing lot on the, I guess, what would be the east side of the city. And so to complement this side for the new development that will surround. So there's the six-story project that will surround this new garage, along with the specialty grocer, which has not yet been officially announced, but I think we have an idea that it might be a Trader Joe's, or at least I think people are hoping for that. So, you know, I think that's a great project to support that development and then further. And it's obviously going to support that grocer as well. So,
yeah. So what's the process going forward for this now, Ian?
We'll continue to have, I think there's going to be another meeting on this at a further date. It hasn't been announced. The next committee meeting we have that accompanies our City Council meeting is next Monday, is an ordinance committee meeting. So I don't know when we'll have the Finance Committee next. Chair McCarthy will, I'm sure, schedule that soon. But we'll go into further discussion on the Sixth Amendment for the URDP, along with the Fox Rock amendment to the LDA.
Okay.
This position again.
Okay, very good. How do you feel about the Sixth Amendment expanding the district area, the acreage itself?
No, I think it actually makes a lot of sense. It's interesting. I was looking for a map so that I could see how the area has broadened since we first started looking at it. Or, I mean, this was first proposed back in 07. So this is a long project that has been continually improved upon. And I don't know why it wasn't expanded on from the get-go. So I do appreciate that it continues to go wider, because when you look, there were some components on the backside of the courthouse especially, and then we made the decision to include the Quincy Center T station, and that was at the time when we were considering all the transit-oriented districts. Now it's going down further towards the beginning of Adams Street there, to include where will be the Adams Presidential Center. So yeah, I think it's fine. I think more focus, just a little bit on the fringes, pushing it out is not bad for this project. I think the continuity of what is perceived as the downtown continues to be within that same district, and then it also activates those areas which currently have large surface area lots that can be improved upon, like the Star Market parking lot, as well as the just TJ Maxx and that retail, the Grossman project there.
Okay, very good. A couple of public hearings. Didn't look like there was anything major there. Some utility issues. And then the full council meeting
Yep,
on
some
Autism
standard.
Awareness Month, right?
Pardon, ask that again.
Autism Awareness Month looks like it was
Yes,
recognized.
yeah, Councilors DeBona and Ash recognized Autism Awareness Month, which is was very kind and very appropriate for them to do. That kicked off our meeting before we went into a presentation on an executive salary study. So there's been an analysis put together by some consultants to take a look at increasing the mayor's wages, which have not increased since 2015. I think it currently sits at about $150,000 or so in the budget. And so it took a look at some precedent roles, town managers, town administrators, other executives in cities and towns across Massachusetts, which you'd be surprised. I mean, some of these salaries are wide, pretty high for smaller population sizes than Quincy. So, certainly worthy of a look. We didn't make a decision on that. I think there'll be further discussion on that piece at a later date. It'll probably be incorporated in the budget, at least whatever the proposed salary would be.
The study itself, Ian, who ordered this consultant study? Do you know how that took place?
So there had been a process started months ago that looked at trying to raise some of the salaries of department heads to be more competitive. So there was an executive study that had been started months ago, and this, I think they didn't have the expertise within that program. So this was just complementary to that. So I don't know where they found this group, the executive office, but it was part of a comprehensive executive level salary study.
Okay. And as I understand it, obviously the council can't add to the budget, correct? So it would have to come down from the executive office.
That's correct. Yeah, we couldn't make the suggestion to I mean, we can make a suggestion, but the executive office would have to actually make that change within the budget and present it to the council.
Okay, very good. Okay, what else?
So then there was an order that was proposed by Councillor Liang, but it was co-sponsored by Councillors Ash, myself, Campbell, and DeBona to recognize Lunar New Year as a legal holiday in the city of Quincy. And I appreciate Councillor Liang bringing this to our attention. This is something that was most recently deliberated at the school committee level. We've been I at least I've heard for a number of years. Constituencies within the city, we have a sizable East Asian population, mostly Chinese, but within East Asian populations, a number of different cultural groups that celebrate the Lunar New Year. We had suggested that this should be an observed holiday within the city. I'm certainly supportive of that. I don't know exactly the details of why the school committee decided not to move forward with such a measure, but I'm glad that we're open to it at the city council level. I think, there'll be some details that need to be ironed out as to our ability to declare a legal holiday within the city that affects different public offices and schools. So it went into ordinance committee, and we'll have a discussion on that next Monday.
Okay, forward to that. I have to ask the mayor about it. He does not support it citywide. He does support it in the schools.
Oh,
Feels it
okay.
might be too costly citywide, and questions the legality of it too. So I'm sure that'll have to be answered before you can move forward.
I'm sure there's a negotiation to be had, or at least like a happy place to get to, so that it is an observed holiday, So we'll see about that on Monday.
Okay. Anything else?
No, there were some standards for donations given to the DARE program. And then that's the agenda. Yeah, so we've got city council meeting again next Monday. I'm sorry, it's the 6th. So our ordinance committee meeting is 6:30 p.m. on Monday the 6th, and then we've got the city council meeting at 7:30.
On May 6th.
Same day. Yep.
Oh, same day. Okay. All right. Very good. Now I will ask you to take off your city council hat and put on your campaign for U.S. Senate hat.
Ah, I think it's always the same hat. You know, I'm always going to be the city councilor, but that's kind of the thing. That's kind of the purpose of this. You know, I see a real opportunity, and so here's some background. Today, I formally announced that I'm going to be running for the United States Senate. You know, I see an opportunity to leverage my experience on the city council here now. You know, I've been in the role for 9 years, fifth term, current city council president. And you know, this is the place, and you know this, Jay, you've been around for a long time, that this is the place where you learn everything. If you don't know how to get things done in the local level, then you can't get things done anywhere. This is, you know, dealing with your neighbors and your family and your friends in a very close manner, who, you know, you get to understand closely their needs, their wants, and their expectations, especially from public servants and from government. And so I think, you know, right now, Massachusetts residents, you know, those in Quincy included, are sick of the status quo, you know, and politicians that aren't necessarily delivering for them from the federal level. And so I see this as an opportunity to be the city council for 351 cities and towns and represent their interests to the federal government and the U.S. Senate.
So, how will Ian Kane be different in U.S. Senate than the current Senate?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be present. You know, I think it's one thing to go to Washington where you need to take the votes, but it's another thing to do the work in your own backyard. And so it's really connecting with the people and understanding what they truly need and what they want. And I think that you know, right now we have a senator that's very much focused on national issues as opposed to Massachusetts issues, some of those which are certainly intertwined. But this is a person who, you know, for the past 12 years has been in the role. He's been largely focused on campaigning for president and making sort of the position a little bit more like a celebrity as opposed to a public servant that is connected to somebody on the ground. You know, I think we've seen, it's kind of like a shtick that I see is that, you know, it's very easy to just say billionaires and millionaires aren't paying their fair share, or you know, Tesla is doing this or Apple is doing this, but it's always a sort of category of a bogey person or a bogey group of people that's really untouchable. It doesn't have a constituency that's large enough to be a voting populace. But that's not what people really, you know, what they really need. Right now, we've got, you know, cost of living rising on a regular basis. Inflation is out of control. The labor market is totally disconnected. We've got people who are looking for jobs that can't find them, and we've got employers who are looking for workers that can't seem to find them. So there's a total mismatch there. You know, we've been taking on an undue financial burden in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, certainly at the state level, but it's a national problem wherein there's an immigration problem, you know, that we see from the southern border that has been permeating us in the north. And, you know, there have been opportunities for our federal legislator to offset some of those capital needs to, you know, offset the billions of dollars that Massachusetts residents are currently taking a hit on in order to help, you know, alleviate some of those issues. But at the end of the day, this is about the economy. This is about pocketbook issues. And, you know, we're hoping to come up with some new innovative ways to tackle some of these problems.
Curious, Ian, did Senator Warren's targeting of the cryptocurrencies market kind of last straw for you to announce your candidacy?
No, not less. That fits into it. It's not, I mean, that's not a top issue for Massachusetts voters. We're certainly focused on it. I mean, it's a blatant, you know, place where the current senator has said, you know, I'm anti-innovation. I'm anti-growth. You know, through what we've done at Cubic Labs in Quincy is create local economy that has connected to a broader technology and financial ecosystem that has created jobs, right? I mean, this is emerging tech, and it's not just blockchain. There are other areas that that provide huge promise for providing people with high wage tech jobs that can allow them to meet cost of living needs in this current economy. So, you know, if you're, you know, that's certainly, again, it's a place that we'll touch on because it's part of a broader story of not being open or clearly understanding of what's possible for the Massachusetts economy. And you know, we've been able to prove that on the local level, and we've certainly looked for opportunities to expand on that experience, leveraging the power of the federal government.
So, logistically, then, for the campaign, as I understand, you need 10,000 signatures in a very short period of time. How's that going?
Good. Yeah, we'll have the signatures we need to get on the ballot, so that won't be a problem. They're due in a couple of weeks, and we're just about there.
Really? So, do you have a committee put together now with a manager and a treasurer, that sort of thing?
I've got a general consulting team that I'm working with, and I've got a senior advisor with finance that I'm working with. So, and then that's, I mean, this is we'll call this a lean startup, right? I mean, for a person that doesn't have $1 million to put from his own pocket into the campaign, which is a whole nother discussion, this is hard work. This is going out, doing the fundraising, going out, getting the signatures. So we've got a lean team that's put together the infrastructure and the organization so far, and we'll be building around it as we continue, to make progress on the fundraising side.
So you're a Republican candidate. Does that mean you're supporting former President Trump's candidacy?
I am so wildly disappointed in both of our presidential candidates. We've got two 80-year-old people that are not representative of where we are in this place and time and where we will be going from a generational perspective. I won't be voting for either candidate.
You want to talk a little bit about your platform? I looked at some of your issues, your GSD agenda, get blank done. Although we could say it on cable.
On local access.
We could say anything on local access.
No, we certainly, it is an action-oriented agenda. And it starts from, again, what people care about. And the most discussed and sort of issue that people care about right now is the immigration crisis, the border, the migrant issues, the economy. Those are our top issues. I'm looking at this, especially how can we create better pathways for young people to thrive and succeed in society, right? What a better way, what a better path to prosperity for young people instead of financing their lives away at such a young age that then create false starts in life and not being able to come out of college with a job that meets cost of living. We got to rethink an entire model here because we can't go down this path continually where, again, we're telling people that they need to do 4-year college or university and they need to finance that. And then, now we're at the back end where we've had economic crisis, through COVID and after now. And we're looking to exonerate people from those debts, which, is not necessarily the best way that we should be, treating people as they come up through society. We want to be able to make, we want to be able to make people productive members of society. And I think we're missing the mark here. And there's a huge chance to create those new pathways and opportunities for success.
Big topic of discussion now, of course, is the two wars, Ukraine and Israel. Do you want to comment on those at all?
So I know that there was just some measures that were taken in the Senate to continue funding. I think I'm happy to probably go into this in more detail at a later time, but it's unfortunate that we have so many of these circumstances going on foreign fronts. Obviously, from a strategic perspective from the United States, there are reasons why we're involved, and it's not as cut and dried as funding or taking sides. But certainly my heart's with all those people that are involved in this conflict. We're very fortunate here in the United States to be in the position we are, that we can be even lending support while protecting our own national security.
Sure. So, will your campaign impact your city council status at all, Ian?
Nothing will get in the way of my being a city councilor.
All right. How do folks learn about you and your campaign?
You can check out our website. It's Cain for us. That's CAINFORUS.com. And then you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter, which those links will be provided on the website as well.
All right. Thanks for sharing your announcement here, QATV. You said you would, and you did, and I appreciate it.
Of course, Joe. I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.